I had come to a very crucial point last time on the subject of individuation. And I said that at the level of human growth, the deepest experience at the mental level of individuality is obtained in the exercise of will. Particularly when you feel the experience of free will. Now, this subject of free will is very important, so I shall go into detail. There are three or four main stages of the development of will. Imagine a child who is put in a beautiful room where there are 20, 25 beautiful objects around. You are only watching the child's movement, and you'll find that the child jumps from one object to the other. And child is happy, every object gives him pleasure. Suddenly, at a certain stage, you who are watching tell the child, "Don't touch this." And the child doesn't like it, doesn't like your stopping him. And he says, "No, I want this object." And again you stop him. There is a tug of war between you and the child. Now at that time child is not aware of what is happening, what he is doing. He is simply expressing an impulse to touch what he really wants to touch, to grapple with the object that he wants to. He doesn't say that, "Well, I am free to touch or not to touch." He doesn't use this term because he is not conscious of what freedom means. There is no consciousness of freedom. But when he fights with you, it means that he is objecting to your control over his freedom. He may not be aware to articulate it, but what is happening is that he is objecting to the infringement of his freedom. He wants to do what he wants to do. An impulsive selection of an object out of many objects which are present is what he enjoys. Any control coming from outside, he resists. This is the earliest experience of what we call the problem of freedom, where the child himself is not aware what freedom means. He is not conscious that he is freely choosing one or the other. He is impulsively attracted by a certain object and he wants it. So anything that is obstructing from outside is considered by him impulsively, not consciously, as an infringement of his freedom. At a later stage of development, this is one of the earliest experiences. At a later stage of development, the child begins to have choice before him, in the sense, several alternatives placed before him, of which he becomes conscious as alternatives. When he was playing in that room, he was not aware that so many alternatives are available to him. But now, as he grows a little more, he becomes aware of the presence of alternatives before him. You take him to a hotel where varieties of objects are available. Let us say he is having a buffet lunch. So many items are available on the table. And he is aware that so many alternatives are there. And he goes on selecting one after the other. And you happen to be present with the child. And when he selects one thing, you say to the child, "Don't take this." Then he says, "No, but I must have it." Then there's a tug of war. The difference between that tug of war at a younger age and now is that there is a consciousness. He feels resentment against you, saying that you are controlling his freedom and you are not allowing him the freedom. He feels that his freedom consists in choosing anything that is presented to him. Out of so many alternatives, he can choose anything. So his definition of freedom is presentation of alternatives. That's the first thing. If there are no alternatives, the question of freedom doesn't arise. If you only give him one thing and say, "Take it," the only alternative is either to take it or not to take it. So only two alternatives. So very often the experience of freedom is not experienced there so much. It is when several alternatives are presented that expression of the idea of freedom becomes more articulate in his mind. So presence of alternatives and the presence of a will which can make a choice. So there is presentation of alternatives, confronting which there is a will which has a tendency to make a choice. And then there is an act of choice. Now when he is making an act of choice, he still doesn't understand that this is freedom. But when somebody says, "Don't take this," he suddenly feels that now he is being stopped. And he might even be able to tell you that, "Why do you stop me? I like it, I want to have it." And he might even say, "I should be free to do it." You come as a kind of a barrier, an opposer of the freedom. This is the beginning of the child's experience of freedom. Now, as far as this particular table for buffet is concerned, maybe that all the articles which are there are all equally good. Only mother felt that this particular article is not good for him. But basically, all the articles are really good, because in food, basically, everything is wholesome, healthy, fine, well cooked. So there is no problem as far as that is concerned. So all the articles are basically good, and therefore whether he chooses this or this or this, actually it makes no difference as far as the quality of it is concerned. But now come to a little higher level, and this is the kind of problem which many mothers face while dealing with the children. A simple example is the choice between play and study. This is a very frequent experience. The child wants to play and the child has to study also. Now let us examine this psychologically, what happens exactly. The child has a great interest normally to go for play. It is one of the alternatives before him. And he likes impulsively to choose play. Now the study, he doesn't choose it because of two reasons. One is that there is more labor involved. There is a little tediousness in the study. It is labor, it is tediousness. And then there is a further problem of retaining what is studied. Now these are more difficult than mere play. Now even in the case of play, if the play is new, if the game is new, then he might feel the same kind of problem as there is between play and study. But if he knows a game, then he has a tendency to repeat it. Wherever that alternative is presented to the child, he immediately picks up that particular choice. Wherever there is a little hard labor, then this problem arises. Now here, between the alternatives, it's not that one is good, another is bad. Both are good. Play is good, study is good. But in the evaluation of the mother, the play has less importance than study in the present circumstances.